The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
It is. Welcome to a Thursday, everybody. I'm so sorry about yesterday. AT&T, what more can I say? Yeah, you know, the ghouls at AT&T got us yesterday. About an hour before showtime, 4 o'clock-ish. Actually, even a little earlier, I noticed my internet was kind of squirrely, right? And it was going in and out, and it was doing weird things. So I thought, let me reboot the router, because that's always fun to do, you know, right before showtime. And so I did, but it was like an hour before, so I thought, okay, we'll be all right. And it just wouldn't come back up. It would not come back up. So then I call AT&T. I'm on hold for a good 20 minutes before I get a human being. And it was some guy from probably the Philippines or something who had a very thick accent. And first thing I said to him is there a network outage or is there an outage in my area? And he said, oh, I don't know. Let me check. Let me, you know, and he told me all the things he was going to do. And I'm like, okay, but I'm in a hurry. You know, he wanted me to check all my wires and unplug and reboot. And I did all that. And again, I said, I'm in a hurry. I'm on a deadline. And he starts running tests. He's like, I did 3 tests and nothing's coming through. And then he's like, let me check one other thing. And then he comes back. He says, oh, there's a network outage. Yeah. So that happened. So then I thought, you know what? My cell phone, thankfully, is not AT&T. And I have this mobile hotspot on it. And so I got it all set up. And I was able to kind of get on the air with an audio stream only, because obviously I don't have the bandwidth through my little cell phone. And Errol Thomas in the YouTube chat room is saying same thing happened to Randy yesterday, because I believe she is also on AT&T. I know she used to have Comcast, but I think they had so many outages that she finally dumped them and went with AT&T. And so we were both affected by this outage that hit all of South Florida yesterday. Go figure. So I attempted. I came back on. I did an audio-only show, such as it was. I spoke to Aswin Subasang from The Daily Beast, who had pool duty at the White House yesterday. And I thought, oh, I'd love to be a fly on the wall there and see what's going on. And unfortunately, running everything through the cell phone was just a bit too much. So he was breaking up. But I made it through the hour. I shared with you a devastating firsthand account written by an NBC News producer who was the television pool producer at the House of Representatives on Wednesday for the time period when the insurrection happened, when they stormed the Capitol. And it was frightening. It was truly frightening. So I posted the link to that on the blog yesterday. I did post the podcast yesterday. And then finally, with about 10, 15 minutes left to go on the show yesterday, the internet came back up. So I plugged back in and I was able to play you a little bit of sound from the impeachment hearing earlier in the day. Because, of course, yesterday my internet goes out on an internet-based show the day the first and only time, hopefully, in our history that a sitting president is impeached for the second time. So that happened yesterday. Yep. Donald Trump was impeached again. There's so many songs I could come up with, but as we've learned, I'm not good at doing the song parodies myself, so I need other people to do them. Okay, so I see Elizabeth G in the chat room says, "Oh my God, did you see Jim Acosta's tweet? Trump staff carrying out a bust of Lincoln." We're seeing a lot of stuff leaving the White House right now, but before you go and just figure they're all looting the place, museums loan an administration stuff like busts of presidents and things for the White House. At the end of the term, they return them. And the incoming president gets to say, oh, I'd like this and I'd like that and I'd like that. So while I wouldn't be surprised if some things are disappearing from the White House, yeah, look at who's occupying the resident, you know, the place now. Don't automatically jump to the worst conclusions. All right. You know, just saying there could be an explanation why things are leaving the White House. They may be going back to the rightful owners. Then again, it's Trump and his minions, so who knows? All right. So yesterday, actually, I had reached out to Marcy Wheeler, Empty Wheel, to get her input on what happened during, you know, last Wednesday. Because if you read emptywheel.net, Marcy is living in Ireland now. More power to her. And but she's still on top of everything that's going on here. So she couldn't join me yesterday. I asked her to come on live after all the impeachment stuff was done. And by the time, you know, I could have had her on, 5:30 here is 10:30 there. And so we just decided we would talk this morning, which turned out to be good because I wouldn't have been able to talk to her yesterday anyway. So we did talk this morning, and I have that conversation coming up, which I'll share with you. Plus, today is Thursday, so Howie Klein will be here as well. And yeah, we've got a lot to talk to him about, too. Before we get to any of that, true, Nicole, Trump crime family would probably steal it in the dead of night. That is true. And did you hear this one? I just have to get this out because I'm pissed off beyond. So Ivanka and Jared apparently have a house in D.C. not too far from the Obamas, right? Well, apparently their Secret Service detail spent, I don't recall, was it like $3,000 a month for toilet facilities because the Kushners would not allow them to use the bathroom inside their house while they were protecting them. So they took to going to the neighbors, including the Obama's house, to use the bathroom before they finally got a very expensive, apparently, porta potty. It's unfucking believable. I mean, totally believable, but but unbelievable. Anyway, before I get to I just want to make sure I don't run out of time. The other day, if you recall, and I may have to play it again when Howie's here, I played for you a little song, a little ditty from a guy that I found online, Jonathan Mann, who produces a song a day. And I played for you. It was the Bernie Sanders incoming chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. Incoming chairman, Senate Budget Committee. I sent it to Howie Klein this morning because he has a story about that up and down with tyranny. And then he edited the post to put the video on. Well, I was perusing some of Jonathan Mann's other stuff because he does a song a day. And I want to share this one with you because it's so true. This one is titled, If These People Were Black, They'd Be Dead. You know who he's singing about, right? Here we go. It's Jonathan Mann. And then we'll be back on the other side with Marcy Wheeler on the Nicole Sandler Show. Take it away, Jonathan.
If these people were black, they'd be dead. Imagine how quickly all the guns would have been drawn. We fired at everyone and stood there taking selfies with the cops, because they are the cops. If these people were black, they'd be dead. Could have foreseen it would come to this. White, domestic terrorist. I don't think they're Antifa. Taking selfies with the cops. If these people were black, they'd be dead. If these people
to Nicole on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
Reaching out across the pond to Marcy Wheeler, who these days is in Ireland. Hey, Marcy, how are things over there?
We're locked down again because we have one of the worst spikes of COVID in the world right now.
You know, the last time we spoke, though, it was right before the holidays or a little bit before the holidays. And you talked about how they did all the preparation so that Christmas would be OK. They canceled Halloween and everything else. And they took the proper precautions so that you guys would be able to have Christmas. And then this happened. You know what went wrong?
We had Christmas.
Oh, you did have Christmas. And that's what happened. Right.
Well, no, I mean, what really happened was we had Christmas, but in addition, they let the bars and restaurants open up. Mm. And that hadn't happened before. And then that all happened both as the British variant, which is more infectious, got here in big numbers. And as I understand it, I haven't seen the numbers on this, but as I understand it, a lot of people traveled to the UK and then came back. So it was a perfect storm of COVID expansion. And so now we're all locked down again.
Oh, boy. Oh, how lovely. Well, you know, welcome to our world, I guess. We're in the same boat. Well, but we're not locked down. I mean, I live in Florida with Governor Moron death sentence, who wants everything and says everything wide open. He's like, you know, he doesn't care. So it's just horrible.
Yeah, that's the difference is when the numbers get bad here, they do something about it.
Yeah. Well, and there's the dichotomy here because like California, as it should be, is like completely closed. I know L.A., where I used to live, they're saying 1 in 5 people is testing positive. And then here and everything is locked down. And here in Florida, the numbers are almost as bad and nothing is closed. So there's no rhyme or reason. Hopefully that'll all change after next week. I got to ask you this. So yesterday, Donald Trump was impeached for a second time. What's the coverage like over there in Ireland? Are people what's the attitude there towards the U.S.?
Well, to the extent I know, I'm living online. And so I think there is a lot of attention to that, but there's a lot of, I mean, like you said, COVID, there's a lot of things going on here that it's not as 24/7 focused on him. But, you know, I think here everyone is really relieved when November, Biden wins, Georgia, Democrats win, and then all of a sudden there's the raid, there's the insurgency.
Oh, God. So I'm sure you, like the rest of us, were watching this all unfold. Look, I knew under Trump things were going to get bad. Did you ever imagine we'd see a day like we saw last Wednesday?
Yeah, I did. You did? I mean, when I think back all the time, is I decided to move to Ireland for personal reasons back in April. But within a week after my spouse and I had made that decision is when the insurgency in the Michigan state capitol happened. Mm. And I remember saying to my spouse and saying to my friends, I'm like, this is not going to go away. This is going to get worse. And even though I think Joe Biden is going to win, I think you're going to see a lot of this in the aftermath of a Joe Biden win. And so was I surprised that it happened? No. Was it appalling that the entire national security apparatus in D.C. ignored it before it happened because they were white Trump supporters and not African Americans? Yeah, that's the stuff that's inexcusable.
It is. And that's where I find myself looking at EmptyWheel.net, your piece from just a few days ago, January 11th, 4 data points on the January 6th insurrection. Watching it unfold and immediately thinking, where the hell are the cops? And then seeing footage of some of the cops, you know, opening the gates and letting these, I hate to call them people, but things through. And even at the end, when they were evacuating the Capitol, seeing a cop help a woman down the Capitol steps. And all I can think of is if that woman was black, he wouldn't be helping her down the steps. He'd be pushing her down the steps. I mean, the split screen in my mind was stunning. Have you figured out what happened? Because if from the accounts I've read, it looks like Capitol Police or somebody in D.C. called, send the National Guard, and they were told no. Do you know what happened?
Look, I think that there's a continuum of things that led to the inadequate response last week. I think there clearly were insiders who helped the insurgency. There have been two Capitol Police who've been put on leave, and there were at least rumors that one was arrested and lots of video of them helping people around. I think that, there were members of the military who were there. There were cops who were there. I think that there are other parts of government where Congress, obviously Congress, where we're going to find people on the inside who were co-conspirators in this insurrection. I think that in different agencies, you can explain the failures to different ways. The reason why DHS didn't adequately report on what was coming is partly because they've always been predisposed against doing white supremacist terrorism tracking, but also because they deliberately politicized this going back in the last year. There was a whistleblower who said, I would do a report saying these protests were right-wing terrorists, and whatever flunky was in charge that day would come back and say, no, you got to blame it on Antifa. The attorney general spent a year blaming violence generally on Antifa unquestioningly.
Right.
So there has been an organized effort to suggest that Antifa are the terrorists and these right-wing terrorists are not, even though all the evidence clearly shows that the right-wing terrorists are the dangerous ones. I also think, and I'm particularly concerned, there's been a lot of observation that DOJ is not giving the messaging they normally would. The acting attorney general, who's the deputy attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, couldn't make a public statement. He made a video and released it literally at midnight, in the middle of the night. And it wasn't very informative. And yes, he said, don't engage in violence, but it felt like a hostage video. I mean, he wouldn't come out and answer questions. I will say that the acting U.S. attorney from D.C. has been doing a good job, Michael Sherwin. But the top two people at FBI, Christopher Wray and David Bowditch, they haven't shown up at all.
Yeah, that's odd. When they finally held a press briefing, I think it was Tuesday, 6 days after the Capitol was under attack, neither the acting attorney general or the director of the FBI were there. They had, as you mentioned, the underlings actually from both agencies. That's weird, isn't it? That's unusual for something like this. Wouldn't you think they'd bring out the big guns?
Right, and not just on the FBI side. On both cases, had the DC side. So the acting U.S. attorney and the assistant director in charge of the Washington field office for the FBI, and you might argue that Chris Wray and Jeffrey Rosen didn't want to be fired for fear that somebody like John Ratcliffe, currently the director of national intelligence, would replace him and then blow up the entire investigation, or Rudy Giuliani, right? I mean, that's been the fear. But there's 6 days left, and there's only so much damage that Rudy Giuliani could do. Plus, In the thing that bothers me most about the FBI is that David Bowditch, the deputy director, has also been silent. And if he were fired today, it wouldn't matter because it's not a confirmable position. You just hire the next guy. And what troubles me, especially about DOJ and FBI, is for the past 4 years, Trump has made it a firing offense for anybody in that infrastructure to investigate him or his associates. The entire, you know, like the entire GOP has spent 4 years suggesting that the Russian investigation was improper, even though it clearly, you know, came up with a lot of crime for what they want to claim was an improper investigation. And the people who've gotten ahead in that position, and I keep coming back to the deputy director, have done so by punishing others for having been part of that Russian investigation. And so in that case, my suspicion is that it is this ingrained reflexiveness that says you don't investigate Trump's associates. And therefore these terrorists were treated, were off limits. And this is a hypothesis, but these terrorists were off limits for investigation until it was too late.
Wow.
And here we are. I mean, that's, you know, and that's frankly a charitable view of it. The other view is that, that these people are politicized and that they don't want to investigate right wingers. I'm not saying that that's what happened. You know, I think that, I think I have concerns about the DC U.S. Attorney's Office because it was so politicized under Bill Barr. Though again, I think Michael Sherwin is doing a good job. I think I hope that when Biden comes in, he immediately reviews that chain of command to make sure that the people running the investigation are people that will actually try and find the real co-conspirators here.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think to some degree, everyone, and here's another thing that I will say that I will, you know, maybe explain. Everyone's just trying to make it through the 20th.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And in two ways. I mean, I think DOJ, FBI are trying to make it through the 20th by proceeding with investigations and trying to stave off the next attacks without in some way eliciting more incitement from the president. And so it's a delicate balance. And once he's out, then hopefully we'll get a better explanation. And if there needs to be a broader cleaning house because these people were too chicken to actually prevent this attack. And then there's DOD, right? That they wouldn't send the National Guard.
Right.
I think that's another big question.
Yeah. It just, I mean, it's all very, it's disturbing because then Trump releases this hostage video last night. It's the only way I can describe it, in which he's obviously reading the words that were written for him, calling for peace and denouncing the violence, but not a word about, you know, so next week, the new administration will come in. They are the legitimate administration. Didn't go there. So, I mean, what does that tell these people who are just hanging on his every word? And apparently they're all citing him as the reason after they've been arrested that they came to D.C. at Donald Trump's request to take back the government. What should happen to these people, and what should happen to the members of Congress, like Boebert, the woman who texted Nancy Pelosi's location in the middle of the siege on the Capitol, things like that? Don't we have laws against this kind of stuff?
We do have laws, and people are being held to account. I mean, I actually, there are people who clearly were pursuing terrorism, assassination, the overthrow of the elected government.
Right.
And we need to find those people. There needs to, and this is why I really hope that we clean up house in the DC U.S. Attorney's Office, because we need to keep an eye on finding those people and finding everybody who was complicit, who helped those people. What we've gotten so far are the people who were wearing furs and were really stupid and went and bragged about, you know, those aren't necessarily the most dangerous people.
Right.
They're not the most dangerous people.
Right.
The most dangerous people were the ones who were laying bombs at the RNC and DNC to distract, to pull the cops away.
Yep.
So that, and I want people on the left to remember that as far as we know, there are the co-conspirators. There's people who were planning assassination.
Yes.
And then there were the people who were protesting and engaged in egregious civil disobedience, but probably didn't walk into that building with the plan to assassinate anybody.
Right.
And I want to make sure people distinguish those two things, not because I love the people who were trying to undermine a free and fair election, but I also, I mean, when you read the accounts of these people who've been arrested so far, about half of them are just insane.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
These are people, this is a cult.
Yep.
And we need to find a way to get the people who have not engaged in violence out of the cult. We have to de-radicalize them and give them an off-ramp while we send the terrorists to prison. And it's going to be really hard to do, but I want to really encourage people to remember that a lot of these people are just cult members who
are easily led. Right. They're yeah. easily led, and they're like, oh, the president wants us to come. I'm going to go. I did see interviews.
And they really believe.
Yeah.
I mean, because they've been told over and over and over and over again, they really believe that Donald Trump won this election.
Yeah. Well, because he has told them that from day one. You know, what some of the criticism against the impeachment strategy is that they're saying, well, while Trump was giving that speech that day before the run on the Capitol, that people were already there getting in place and planting pipe bombs and stuff. So he couldn't have incited them. He's been inciting them since before the election when he said, if I lose, it's because the election's been rigged. And I remind people, he did the same thing in 2016. Had he lost, he would have claimed, oh, they stole it. It was rigged. But because he won, you never heard about it being rigged anymore.
Really importantly, you know what the organization was that was going to do just that in 2016?
Yeah.
Stop the Steal.
Yeah, Stop the Steal.
It was Roger Stone's organization, Stop the Steal, that did some of that. To win the primary and plan to do some of that right after the election in 2016.
After they lost.
And we don't know, there were at least three or four Roger Stone associates who've been arrested since this. So
yep.
Did Roger Stone have a role? Did Mike Flynn have a role? Those are questions that we need to answer before anybody says that Trump wasn't involved in a preconceived plan.
Right.
I think one of the things that I wrote about that needs more attention again is that Rudy Giuliani weeks before the morning of and after people had died, had a plan to use this disruption to prevent the counting of the votes. Mm-hmm. And I think until we know, again, Roger Stone, Mike Flynn, but Rudy Giuliani, until we know what every single one of them knew and when they knew it, we can't rule out the president having been part of this plan from the start.
That's right. And now, Marcy Wheeler, you bring up Rudy Giuliani. Well, he was the one glued to Trump's side throughout this whole thing. And now today we're reading that Trump is livid at Giuliani. He's instructing his people, well, as he would do anyway, not to pay Giuliani's legal fees. And he's apparently cut him out. How does this bode for testimony going forward? Somebody's got to charge Rudy Giuliani with something. I mean, he's been, it seems like the guy who's been egging Trump on all along, telling him, oh no, you got this. You can challenge this election. It's not over yet, when it was clearly over.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon mm-hmm. have been playing for a pardon for quite some time. Steve Bannon, of course, already is being prosecuted for the same kind of fraud that likely went on in the last couple months, which is he was getting people to, they thought, pay money to build a wall, and instead they were paying for his buddy's boat. And and so Bannon, rather than taking that seriously, I think presumed he would get a pardon. And I said back during the Hunter Biden laptop scene, I was like, if this doesn't work, if the Hunter Biden laptop hoax doesn't work, will they actually get their pardon? Is the pardon contingent on this working? And And yeah, so maybe that's what's going on with Rudy, is Rudy kept telling Trump that he would get him through this, get him a win, basically, which is the one way to get out of trouble. And it didn't work. So maybe Rudy's not going to get his pardon. Look, I mean, I think if Rudy doesn't get his pardon, a number of his associates were of the people that he was getting Hunter Biden dirt from were named as they were sanctioned the other day as Russian agents. And So there's like five of them that he was getting this dirt from now. And Rudy, I think, is highly likely to be charged in tangentially related New York, Southern District of New York stuff if he's not pardoned. And then, you know, one way or another, if he's pardoned for both the help he gave Trump, the basically the brokering of pardons to get out of the Russian investigation, and if he's pardoned for his role in trying to steal the election, then Rudy won't have privilege anymore. And he will, you know, I think at some point, here's the thing that with regards to pardons is Pat Cipollone, who is the very good White House counsel who has gotten Trump out of a lot of scrapes so far, is telling Trump in no uncertain terms, if you self-pardon, you're going to be in more trouble than you might be otherwise, because it really raises the chances that they're going to prosecute you. I think they'll prosecute him anyway, but if Trump doesn't, he's kind of wandering around in his petulant way. Well, if I can't have a pardon, then nobody can have a pardon. Yes. You know, if Trump is not pardoned one way or another, and he let his supporters try and assassinate the one guy who could do it legally, Mike Pence, which was dumb. But if Trump is not pardoned, then pardons for other people really do become problematic, because, you know, if Rudy tells the truth about what went on, if he can speak the truth anymore, I'm not sure if he's capable, then it would put Trump in some insignificant legal jeopardy.
Right, because then these people would be forced, they can testify against him, and I think they have to, the way the laws are written. I'm a little shaky on it, but yeah, if he's pardoned, then he can testify as to whatever Trump did, and without fear of being prosecuted for what he's testifying about. Anyway, today there's a headline in, I don't know, one of the places, one of the papers I read, that said, you know, now Trump wants a distraction, so expect another round of pardons. But this comes after yesterday with the story that he's crying, saying, if I can't have a pardon, nobody can. So who knows? We have, what, 5 days left? Six.
And each of which feels like a month. So.
Yes, I know. And people, some people are saying, well, what damage can he do in 6 days? A lot. That's the worry. So, Marcy Wheeler, there's a million more questions I can ask you, but I'm going to let you go. And thank you for making yourself available and remind people to read emptywheel.net, because your analysis is great and you ask the important questions. And I always appreciate your time here and wish you a happy new year. I was thinking 2021, we're going to turn a corner. Oh, my God. So far, it's a continuation of 2020, and that's not a good thing. So I wish you well. Thank you for joining us, as always, and we'll talk again soon.
Great to talk to you, Nicole.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Marcy Wheeler. There you go. She is always great to talk to. And now I'm running late, so we got to get Howie Klein on the line, right? Let me get his graphic up. And I got the wrong one. Oh, no. Well, let me do this, and I'll call Howie, and we'll be right back.
Come on, man.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Here we go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you?
I was great all day, and then I just had a little flip out that's getting me just furious.
About?
Well, you know, I mean, we're all crazed about Trump, so that's, you know, that's what it is. You know, things seems to be going okay right now in terms of getting rid of him, etc. But when I read this just a little while ago that Biden thinks that he doesn't have to give $2,000 in survival checks because there's already been $600 that's been given, so he only has to give $1,400. It's like it's making me. I don't care. I mean, I don't care that much about Biden himself, but what he's going to do is destroy the Democratic Party. If he does that, there will be the midterms will be so horrendous that it will be frightening to look at. They campaigned on $2,000. They didn't, and a bunch of word soup and bullshit is not going to do it. It's $2,000, easy to understand, and he shouldn't even be associated with trying to worm out of it. And that got me so mad. I know it's not what we had planned to talk
right.
about. I just got furious.
But I understand. But you know what? I could take either side of the argument, believe it or not, because they were talking about, all right, get 600 out now, and then we're going to bring it up to 2,000. I would think that some people thought all along that's what they were going to do. Meanwhile, it should be $2,000.
I don't think that's what they said at all.
It should be $2,000
a month. I
didn't
hear them saying that. And certainly the two now senators from Georgia never said that.
Right.
They were saying, elect us and it'll be $2,000
yeah.
that you'll be getting a check for. And, you know, again, word games isn't going to do it. And the reality is that it should be $2,000 a month anyway.
Exactly. That's
not
what
just
I just
one
said.
Lousy yep. $2,000 check, let alone one lousy $1,400 check.
Exactly.
Very, very, very bad if he does that.
Yeah. No, I agree. Look, you know, we are going to be fighting with Joe Biden. I have no doubt about that. But at least, you know, hey, Bernie Sanders is the incoming chair of the Senate Budget Committee.
Right. Did you hear that song? Are you the one who sent me that song?
I'm the one who sent it to you.
Oh, my God. Do I love that song? I put it up on my blog.
I know. I saw you did that. You sent it back to me. You said thank you. And with a link back to the blog post. That's why I wrote it, because at DownWithTyranny.com, you have a great article that includes an interview with Bernie, I guess, from Politico, which is interesting, about what he will do as the incoming chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. And I played that song on the show 2 days ago. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to send this to Howie. And I knew you'd love it. I knew you'd love it.
Of course, right up my alley.
Yep. I earlier in the program, I played another song by this guy. His name is Jonathan Mann, and he produces a song a day. And the other one I just played today is called If These People Were Black, They'd Be Dead. Guess what he was singing about?
The insurrectionists who
exactly, and it was intercut with all the visuals were all from the siege of the Capitol, and the song was If These People Were Black, They'd Be Dead. It wasn't funny. It was dead serious, and it was true, sadly. But
please send it.
Oh, I'll send you that one too. Okay, I will send you that as soon as we're done.
And is it, the quality is good.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. No, this guy's great. It's the same guy who produces. He does a video a day on YouTube. His name is Jonathan Mann with two N's. Yeah.
Very good.
Check him out.
So anyway. Well, other than that, I'm doing good.
I got
you.
You
know, it just dampened the enthusiasm for, you know, just another week of Trump. You know, and the other thing that got me going was, I was looking at those pictures of Trump people walking out of the White House with,
stuff.
You know, souvenirs.
Right. But again, as I warned the people in the chat room here, I read something just a short while ago from one of the one of the D.C. journalists who reminded everyone that each incoming administration gets a lot of stuff on loan from museums. And at the end of the term, the stuff goes back to the museums. So there is a chance that some of those things we're seeing walking out of the Oval Office are actually going back to their rightful owners.
That's not the pictures I was looking at.
No.
I'm looking at pictures of, like, you know, known people stealing things.
Yeah, that's not good. And I wouldn't put it past these people. Look, if you could stomach working for Donald Trump, I'm sorry, I'd rather be homeless and unemployed than work for Donald Trump. It just, you know, there are certain things you do and certain things you don't do.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there was a rumor a few weeks ago, I doubt it could really be true, that he was getting the, it might have just been a joke, but it was going around.
Right.
And there were people who believed it, and it was that he was having the Oval Office desk.
The Resolute desk?
Yes, the Resolute desk. He was having a copy made. He was going to steal the Resolute desk.
Oh, my God. So he was going to steal the original and leave the copy in the Oval Office?
Yeah, he was going to bring it to the Florida White House, the Southern White House, something like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the Florida White House. You mean Mar-a-Lago, where the town of Palm Beach is trying to get it so that he is not allowed to live there. Because when they zoned the place, when he bought it and made it a private club, they specified that it is like a hotel. It is not a residence. And therefore, nobody is allowed to stay there more than so many specified nights per year. Trump did that in a month. So they're trying to make it so that he cannot use Mar-a-Lago as his residence.
Yep, yeah. I know. And yeah. I hope they succeed in that.
I do, too.
And I suspect that they probably will. We'll see.
Yeah, and by the way, while we're on the subject of these kind of things that make us kind of puke, did you hear the story about the Ivanka and Jared not letting the Secret Service detail assigned to protect them use the bathroom so they would go to the neighbors, including the Obamas, who let them use the bathroom until they finally rented a toilet for $3,000 a month? For that, they could have rented a whole apartment, couldn't they?
Not in that neighborhood.
Not in that neighborhood.
$3,000 a month, that's taxpayer money.
That's right.
And so far, that's come to $100,000 to protect Ivanka and her family.
No, so that the people protecting them could go to the bathroom while they were on duty.
That's what the $100,000 was for, just for the bathrooms.
Unbelievable. I can't wait for these grifters to get the fuck out of our White House. I'm just... I have the countdown clock on the website. 5 days, 18 hours, 25 minutes, 16 seconds, in case you're counting. So,
well, I'd like to count the silverware is what I like to count.
I like to count everything. So, Howie Klein, I asked you, is there anything, there's, you know, like, how do you pick? What are we going to talk about? But I said, was there anything specifically you would like to talk about? And you said, yeah, the members of Congress who helped the insurrectionists and if expulsion is enough of a punishment. I don't usually agree with Jennifer Rubin because she's a conservative. And I really have a bad taste in my mouth for the Never Trumpers who think they can come over and, you know, because their party. They couldn't control their party. They want to come over to the other side and control us. Sorry, you're a Republican. Be a Republican. Get your own house in order. But she's calling them the Sedition Caucus, and I kind of like that. Now, are you just talking about the people who, defended or are still defending Trump? Are you talking about the people who, after the siege on the Capitol, got up and still voted against certifying the Electoral College votes? Or are you talking about people like Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs and Mo Brooks and Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who possibly were aiding these insurrectionists and helping them while they were invading the Capitol?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. The last batch.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It's not going to work to hold someone's vote against
right,
them. They vote the way they vote. We disagree with their vote, but you can't put them in jail because of the way they voted.
Yep.
However, the Capitol is closed to tourists.
That's right.
And some of these people, I suspect one of them is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yep.
They're known now, but it's a formal investigation, so they're keeping the names quiet. But I'm sure they'll leak out in the next few days. One of them is her.
Yeah.
We're showing these QAnon people around the Capitol. Now, they're not allowed in unless they're escorted by a member of Congress or a member of Congress's staff.
Right.
And there were large groups of QAnon people walking around the Capitol the day before, where it was being pointed out to them things like, oh, that's AOC's office. Oh, that one over there, that's the real office where Jim Clyburn is.
Right.
The office with his name on the door, he doesn't go in there. In other words, if you want to find Jim Clyburn, you go to this one that has no name on the door.
This unmarked office.
The one.
And that's Clyburn was saying. My office is unmarked. They didn't go to the office with my name on the door where I don't go. They went where I hang out. And I heard other, members of Congress saying, I don't even know for sure where Clyburn's office is, but they knew where to go.
They did. And it wasn't just Clyburn either. Obviously they showed them, they were shown where Pelosi was likely to be. They were shown where the little office where Pence is when he's presiding over the Senate. He's got his own little office in that building. And they were, these guys were ready. Fortunately, enough people have come forward with the evidence now that this is going to be like a fantastic case when it breaks open. And my point is that, I completely agree with Cori Bush's bill to start an investigation of the people in Congress who aided and abetted. I agree with that completely. But I want to be certain that it's not just expulsion.
Right.
That these people are facing. They deserve much more. In fact, I did a poll online about it the other day, and I gave people four choices. One was expulsion is enough. That's a punishment enough. The other was, no, they need to go to prison. And another was, they need to be hung. And another was, I feel 50-50 about it.
Oh, uh-huh. And
so
what one?
Something like 80-some-odd percent said prison. Nobody wanted them to be hung. I couldn't believe it. Where are my followers?
Because they're not Republicans. That's what they do, right? But did you hear what Jim Comey has been making the rounds? Because who wants to hear from him? Anyway, now what he's saying is that Joe Biden, for the good of the nation, should really think about pardoning Donald Trump.
But it was a kind of a curveball.
Was it?
Because what Comey was saying was that Trump won't accept it because it means, according to the Supreme Court, if you accept a pardon, it means you accept that you were guilty.
Guilty,
of something.
Right. But he wants to pardon himself, so obviously he's admitting that he's guilty.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, well, Comey was saying that Biden should do it for several, he had several reasons, but said that Trump won't accept it anyway.
Oh, my God. Well, when I heard that Comey was making the rounds and speaking out, and I understand someone in the chat room just said he just showed up on MSNBC again and they turned the sound down. So I have a little song for Jim Comey. When he thinks he wants to open his mouth and say something again, Howie, here's my song for Jim Comey.
I just need you to shut the fuck up because nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
I always wanted to keep going, but it ends. Yeah,
I love it.
Isn't that great?
I didn't. I was like, are we allowed to say those words? On are we on the air?
We're on the internet. The FCC has no jurisdiction over the internet. It's the beautiful thing about not being on any terrestrial radio stations.
Got it. I thought that you went back on a terrestrial radio station. See, what do I know?
No. If I do, occasionally I can, I did many years and only said shit once in all those years on the radio. So, no, I'm good. But I take advantage of the fact that I can say shut the fuck up to Jim Comey and Ted Cruz and Donald Trump when necessary.
I had the Sex Pistols on my radio show, terrestrial radio show, in San Jose, KSJO.
Uh-huh.
And I was kicked off the air for several months. And just for having them on and having them talk, they didn't advocate violence or overthrowing the government or anything like that. And I'm sure you've seen that video that's going around, which is just horrific, of all these Fox and radio personality. Well, I think they're almost all Fox people, saying basically we've got to overthrow the government.
Yeah.
Each one's in their own way. And I mean, I had to get a license when I was on the radio. Don't these people get licenses anymore?
Not anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. Plus, cable, again, the FCC has no jurisdiction over cable. And regarding, like, over-the-air radio, they don't care, apparently. You can say, we're going to overthrow the government. You can lie your ass off. You could say, Donald Trump won by a landslide and they stole the election from him and we need to fight back. They can do that. There's no problem with that. But if you say fuck, shit, you know, one of the seven dirty words, you can get fined $300,000 plus.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's our priorities are kind of fucked up.
Strange. Very strange. Yep. Now, did you say you don't need to get a license anymore?
No. No. When I got into radio, I started in radio in college in 1979. And even then, the first class.
10 years before. Oh, no, more than 10, 1965.
Oh, wow. Well, you're also a little older than I am. But when I got into radio, there used to be a requirement for a first-class FCC license, and you had to take a test and everything. Right before I started, they did away with that, and all you needed was a radio telephone operator permit that just had to be posted in the studio, and now that doesn't even exist. So there's nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, well, deregulation.
Deregulation. Well, the good news is that Ajit Pai, I think was his name, Trump's FCC commissioner, is out. And it'll be a Democrat now heading up the FCC. Maybe we can, you know, revisit net neutrality again. Not that they've acted on it, but still, the whole concept needs to be reexamined. And they should think about bringing back the Fairness Doctrine, because it's really reprehensible that right-wing hate talkers, they control the AM radio dial, which is a wasteland now to me. I don't even turn the radio on anymore, which is a shame because it's the industry that I worked in for 40 years.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
but I mean, NPR is the only. I don't even know how to find anything else.
Yeah,
my car goes on, NPR comes on, and if I don't like what they're doing, I'll put some music on.
Yeah, that's it. I have XM and put on music from. But even they suck now. It's so formulaic. There's no creative radio anymore. And XM and Sirius, when they started, they had so much potential, but even they dumb it down to the lowest common denominator and play the same songs over and over again. Maybe there's a handful of more adventurous channels, but the ones that used to be there are gone. You know, like XM used to have something called The Loft, which was a really good adventurous music station. Gone. They're all gone. It's, yeah, it's, you know, programming to the masses, which is a shame, and maybe that's why I program to the niche, to the small segment of the population. But that's okay, because they're like-minded people. So anyway, Howie Klein, we haven't spoken. We did talk last Thursday after the siege. The days are running together in my head. This is a really crazy time between COVID and Trump. And now these white supremacists threatening not only Washington, D.C., but all 50 state capitals. This is one of those moments in history that I think 50 years from now, they're going to look back on and say, wow, the 2020s, those were some rough times. I hate to ask. I mean, have you ever imagine we'd be in this position today?
Well, not exact position, but I mean, you know, before Trump was ever even elected, and when it looked like there was like even a chance that he would become president, anything goes.
Right.
Nuclear wasteland.
Yeah.
Anything at all. There's nothing that's too out of the question. This is, you know, without a doubt, this is the worst president in history, but not just the worst president in history, but the most unimaginably worst president in history. I mean, when people try to argue with me, you know, about, what's his name, Tyler, who joined the Confederacy and went to the Confederate Congress, or Hoover or Harding, or, you know, you know, Andrew Johnson, there are a number of bad presidents. Trump isn't like any of them. You could argue all you want about how bad various presidents are, but Trump is in a category of his own. You know, no one will ever come close to how bad and horrible this person is.
Right. But the other side of that story that I think is even more reprehensible, it's like not so much that Trump, you know, he lost, but 74 million people voted for him. In this case, we have a Republican Party who got behind this guy and defended him almost to the very end. And most of them still are. The Republican National Committee, I guess, had their annual meeting in Florida in the middle of the pandemic. But OK. And Trump called in and they cheered him, and then they voted to make him to say he's still the leader of the Republican Party. What?
And remember, 174 House Republicans just voted against impeachment. Only 10 voted for it.
I know.
And some of the excuses were horrific. You have people saying, well, I wanted to vote for it, but they threatened my family, and I didn't want my family to be killed, so I couldn't do it.
Right. That's what, and apparently that's the excuse of a few of them. Really? So then the terrorists win? Right?
And why don't they resign?
Yeah.
Isn't that the thing to do? If you can't do your job,
then
they
resign.
Know he should be impeached. That's a serious thing. But they can't do it because their family is threatened.
Right.
Well, you know, what does that say about them? What if, you know, we have a problem with a foreign country who threatens them as well? They're going to, you know, not do their job because they're afraid?
Yeah.
That's pretty shocking.
It is.
I think all members of Congress are in danger from these Trumpists now. I'm really, really hoping and expecting that the FBI is going to come down very, very hard on them, that this is not going to be seen as a joke. I mean, you remember last Wednesday when it first happened, a lot of people were laughing about it. They, you know, that they had that guy in that goofy, Village People outfit. He was running around, and, you know, people were laughing. And I think he meant it to be funny.
No.
Because if
that's him.
Fierce. That's really scary.
Yeah, it is scary. These people are nuts. And they're nuts. They're crazy.
That this is going to keep going on, that they're going to start attacking state capitals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I read something that the FBI said that the Supreme Court was in the building, is in danger now. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities. Now, if these things are true, people who want to say no hanging, well, you know, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Look, it is treason, and treason is punishable by death. It's one of the few things that, I don't agree with the death penalty, but if ever there were a case.
I know you don't, and I'm a very pro-death penalty person with one caveat. And the caveat is that our society and our justice system are too racist and too classist.
Yep.
So that people of color and people of less means, lower class, or in class,
they are the ones who get punished.
More of a propensity to get the death penalty.
Yep.
So until that's solved, I believe in the death penalty. I just don't think it should be used. But in the case of this kind of thing, this kind of treason and insurrection, I have no qualms whatsoever. To me, any cop who walks up to one of these guys and shoots him between the eyes is a hero in my book. I know that isn't, politically correct thing to say. I'm just telling you my gut.
But anybody who is a traitor to the nation needs to be held to account. These people, none of them should be able to get off with what they did because
none of them should get organic food in jail.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Oh, boy. 5 days, 18 hours, how many minutes? 9 minutes and 14 seconds. Ugh. And then we have a different fight on our hands. And Howie Klein will keep the pressure on. Find Howie Klein at downwithtyranny.com. Yes, hopefully we'll still be standing.
Don't get me that song.
I will send it to you right now. Send you both. All right. Thanks, Howie. Talk to you next week.
Bye, Nicole.
We'll be post-Trump by then. Thanks to you guys. I'll see you tomorrow with John Nichols of The Nation and the Progressive Honor Roll. All right. Take care. Bye.